This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Tom Brady was reminded last night he's not in New England any longer. I thought there was an interesting comment on Morning Men on Mad Dog Radio with Evan Cohen. He says that Brady probably doesn't miss being coached by Belichick, but he may miss Belichick coaching the rest of the team because the Buccaneers' offensive line struggled. The team lacked discipline. To add insult to injury, Brady lost track of the downs on the final drive, and the Buccaneers lose a game that they should have won and should have won comfortably. All the things that he probably took for granted, we took for granted in New England, aren't the case in Tampa Bay. The Patriots may not have had a lot of talent towards the end of Tom and his stay there, but they played smart football. Remember, that's what we're sold on with Brady going to Tampa Bay, the experience, you know, the football IQ. Not athletic, but he can still, when the game's on the line, he's going to win those games. But I don't think there's any need to panic right now in Tampa. They're getting used to one another. Shorthanded, had injuries last night. You know, they do run the football. Ronald Jones looked good last night. But you got to come up with those plays. Brady clearly not happy with his teammates last night. And maybe his teammates aren't happy with him either. After the game, everybody wanted to know, Tom, did you know that it was fourth down? Here's Brady.
We just had some negative plays, you know, in the second half. We had a negative play, you know, again, to get behind down distance. You know, that's not where you want to be. So we all have to do a better job. This isn't any one position. This isn't any one player. This is a team-wide thing that we all got to collectively, you know, learn each other quickly and make improvements quickly. And, you know, we all have to do a better job.
He didn't answer if he knew it was fourth down. But here is one more from Brady talking about the second half.
Nick Foles is on the winning end of his matchup with Tom Brady yet again.
Yeah, it looks like Brady lost the down. He was thinking it was third down. That can happen when you clock the ball. You know, you forget that as being one of the downs, but he clearly looked like he thought he had another shot at it.
Yeah, you're right. He lost track of the downs. He went for a bigger shot there on fourth down than just trying to dump it off and pick up a first down.
Yeah.
That's Troy and Joe Buck during the Fox broadcast. Do we have Tom Brady talking about the second half mistakes?
We don't.
We do not have that? All right. Well, we'll see if we can get that. Here's Bruce Arians, the Buccaneers head coach, on Tom Brady. Did he know it was fourth down?
Bruce, at the end of the game there, that last drive, it looked like Tom might have been confused with what down it was. Did he not know it was fourth down?
Yeah, he knew.
I appreciate his honesty there.
No, I know.
Yeah, that's remember first week where he was, you know, criticizing Tom Brady and people were all up in arms like, you can't do that to the GOAT. Well, that's who Bruce Arians is. Bruce Arians has to take some blame here. Not that he's trying to avoid it, but that team was not disciplined at all last night. They didn't look like they were ready to play. Yeah, see.
Not to like single out specific people,
but
dang, man, Ryan Jensen, he is like the drive killer.
The center for the Buccaneers?
Week after week, drive killer. They'll be moving the ball 70 yards down the field, full head of steam, and all of a sudden he headbutts somebody. You know, all right, back it up.
15-yard penalty. Yeah, McLevin.
Also, that guy who calls in and talks about the offensive line.
That's Ted in Tampa.
They can't block anybody either. Last night they couldn't.
Yeah, but that's no surprise. I mean, Brady got sacked 3 times last night. But look, it's inexcusable. You remind everybody, hey, fourth down, hey, fourth down, hey, you know, third down. How many times do you see this in a baseball game? Even professionals, where somebody will catch a fly and they'll go one out. Like, you can see how many outs there are in a baseball inning. But you'll still have that where you go one. There's down markers. You can see it. There's signage all over the stadium there. And I will say, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck and myself, I'm going, yeah, Tom's right. Now it's fourth down. He didn't spike it on third down, and I think we thought he was going to. He didn't. And then all of a sudden you go, wait, no, Tom's now he's trying to lobby the officials. Think, no, I got now this is fourth down here. Yes, yeah,
for a second I was like, Tom's right.
Yeah, well, Tom, he's always
doing?
Right.
What are they doing? They got one more play. Tom's right. Everybody else is wrong.
I know. Yeah, Paul.
But if you're Brady and Arians, especially Arians, why would you say that he knew that it was fourth down? He clearly didn't. He'd just say like, hey, we lost track, but we were going for the first down at every play. Doesn't it make it worse by covering? Does anyone in this room think there's even a possibility he was clear on what down it was?
No, I don't think he was clear. I do think that he made a mistake and didn't realize it was fourth down.
Why would the coach say the opposite?
No, I know.
I think he's trying to, you know, this is that delicate balance in the locker room where you're going to say, hey, because they covered for Tom when he threw those interceptions and the pick six in the first week. And they blamed one of those interceptions on Mike Evans. Like, you know, Mike ran a wrong route. But Bruce is just going to say what he thinks, what he feels. Was I surprised? He said, yeah, he knew. Because Tom clearly didn't know. Yeah, see.
But if you remember after week one, Bruce Arians gave like the most mild criticism ever of Tom Brady, where he was like, well, you know, Tom needs to play better, something, whatever it was. And the media collectively lost its mind. You can't say that about Tom Brady. Trouble in paradise already? Well, Bruce needs to get on the same page. People lost their minds over it.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Now, is this where the press conference today, where Bruce Arians goes, you know what? On second thought, you know, Tom didn't know it was fourth down. But he's supposed to know it's fourth down. He knew it was fourth down. No, he didn't know. But he should have known it was fourth down.
The best thing Tom Brady can do today is come out and be like, yeah, I screwed that up and then I tried to cover for it. And it's really embarrassing. That's the best thing you could do is just be like, yeah, I knew I screwed up. I'm super embarrassed.
Hey, I'm the last person to point out that somebody forgets things because I've been doing it for a year now on this show. But that's a moment where, because people are making the age jokes there with Tom, hey, getting old, you know, your memory starts to go here. I was surprised that Tom didn't just own up to it and just say, look, you know what? I got caught up in it. I made a mistake. It hasn't happened very often, but it did last night, and that's on me. That's it. Then it goes away. But if you all of a sudden go, you know, we made mistakes, and we got to be more disciplined, you know, all those things, then it still kind of lingers there. But I don't know how Bruce Arians goes, yeah, he knew it was. So Tom knew it was fourth down and then said, wait, no, I got one more down. He didn't look like a guy who knew it was fourth down. I think we can all agree. The pass was not a fourth down like pass. Because you got to get the first down. He's throwing a ball in tight coverage there. That maybe he's trying to get pass interference there, but that's not a pass you throw on fourth down where you have to get the first down. I don't think he knew it was fourth down. He didn't own up to it. Bruce Arians said he knew it was fourth down. Great. Yeah, Paulie.
You know, it may be a memory thing because after the game, he forgot something else. Forgot to shake Nick's hand.
Oh,
little Nick.
Oh, yeah. I felt bad for Nick Foles.
Looking around.
Because Foles is just, you know, he didn't play great, but he won the game. And Brady didn't acknowledge Foles after the Super Bowl when they lost to the Eagles and Foles was the MVP. Now, I understand that's at the end of the Super Bowl and it is chaotic. And I was there handing out the trophy to Nick Foles. It's chaos. But then I saw this column and it said, this is Yahoo Sports. People apparently forget COVID-19 exists. Rip Tom Brady for not shaking Nick Foles' hand after the game. This is written by Frank Schwab. To those criticizing Brady for his lack of handshake and or man hug with Foles, the NFL has outlawed that and any other non-distancing interaction after games. Foles said after the game, didn't get a chance to say anything to him. Sure, sometime we'll catch up, but you know, we're trying to keep our distance. And then the author goes, really, it's no big deal, but it's Brady, so people will take their shots regardless. Yes.
Man, we did just spend a couple of days ripping Patrick Mahomes for hugging a guy who turned out to have COVID.
Yeah.
So
I think you could just do this. Acknowledge. He left with 20 seconds. He didn't stay till the end of the game. So if I am going to rip LeBron for walking off the floor, then I got to rip Brady for doing the same thing. Acknowledge him. I mean, you don't have to bro hug. You don't have to shake hands. You don't have to get within 20 feet. But there is a common respect amongst quarterbacks, that fraternity, where just acknowledge. Just say, hey, you know, point your finger at Nick Foles. Hey, Nick, good job. That's all. Anybody feel differently there on the other side of the glass? Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, I think it's. I honestly think people are just having fun with it. I don't think anybody was really mad at Brady for this.
Oh, yes, they are. I mean, it's Brady. Are you kidding me? It's like LeBron.
I thought people were just like laughing at Nick Foles looking like a lost puppy.
Well, that's why I felt bad for Nick, because Nick's walking over because that's what you do at the end of a game. You always find the quarterback. And he's looking around like, remember Jim Valvano when he won the national title at North Carolina State? He was looking around for somebody to hug, and he had nobody to hug. And the camera's on him. There's Nick Foles going, Tom? And then, you have the PR guy with Foles, and he's got his mask on. He's probably saying, Tom left. He just ran off the field there. Yes, McLovin.
So what was the worst part for Tom last night? Getting caught screaming curse words a la Bill O'Brien on the sideline? Mm-hmm. The four fingers? Mm-hmm. Or
screaming curse words?
Oh, my God. Did you see everybody was like, oh, my God, I hope kids aren't watching this.
Tom Brady's cursing.
Well, that was not a great look for Tom.
It was all censored. They cut out of the audio
No, I'm just saying screaming at your teammates. That didn't look – that's not a good sign when your quarterback is yelling
at him. But he's been doing that. He did that in New England.
Yeah, once, and we made a huge deal of it.
Yeah, but you can't be surprised where you go, oh, Brady's yelling at his teammates there. He threw his tablet.
Anyone who's watched a Patriots game over the last 20 years sees him do that weekly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's commonplace.
They can be up by 35 points, and he's still barking at somebody for a holding penalty.
I think everyone's going to focus on the four fingers, but the Bucs started making stupid plays about 4 minutes into the game and did not stop for 56 minutes. They are not a disciplined team.
No, and that's why I think, pointing out that Brady may not want to be coached by Belichick, but he would certainly love his teammates to be coached by Belichick because they wouldn't make those mistakes. They just wouldn't. Belichick will not stand for it. And Brady has the headset. I mean, he's got the microphone in his helmet. Is somebody saying to him at any point there, hey, Tom, fourth down. Hey, we just need get a first down. Like, does anybody say anything to him? Yeah, Paul.
I actually don't think that's what happens. I can't see that the coach goes, by the way, Tom, it's reminding the down. Like, you do that maybe to a rookie or someone who's never played, like that kid from Denver last week who hadn't played professional football. I don't know if the coaches do the updates.
Well,
they should have. Now they will.
Well, even if you do down and distance, or if I'm saying something to you in your helmet, then I would be saying, "Hey, we only need 6 yards here for let's get the first down." All right, here is Tom Brady after the game on what happened in the second half.
We just you're up against the clock and you're up against the I knew we had to gain a chunk, so I should have been thinking more first down instead of chunk on that down. So.
Yeah, he's talking about, the chunk is what you go for on third down. not fourth down. By that, I mean a large amount of yardage. You're trying to get something a little bit more than just get the first down. Because the defense will give you a certain amount. They're not going to give you that big chunk. And that's what Tom's talking about. You don't do that on fourth down. And he had somebody open underneath for the first down. Yeah, Todd.
Why is there no follow-up question with Arians or Brady Sinks? So you were caught on camera holding up. What did that mean when you looked confused and puzzled holding up four fingers? How does no one ask that question?
I don't know if they did or didn't. I mean, that's the only sound that we got. But I don't know why somebody wouldn't say, why were you holding up four fingers there? I mean, Tom made a mistake. Plain and simple, made a mistake. It's rare, but he made a mistake. And it was costly. But there's a lot of blame to go around on that team today because that was not a disciplined team. Yeah, Paulie.
I saw some different headlines today, and people are some media people are very afraid to jab Tom Brady because, you know, the Golden Goose. I saw one on a website that's pretty big in Bristol, Connecticut. Tom Brady appears to put up four fingers. appear to put up four fingers. You could say he appears to forget to play, but he did put up four fingers. Now, what those four fingers meant, that's for you to deduce, but he appeared to possibly raise four fingers in a questionable motion.
Tom Brady perhaps missing a thumb because he put up four fingers.
You could say he appears to mouth fourth down while holding up four. The four fingers is indisputable, but he's going fourth down.
Tom calling for four more years. Tom goes political.
Whoa.
Hey, that's his guy.
Wow.
No offense.
Wowzer.
Strange time to be sending that message out.
Wowzer. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Always like looking up and seeing that Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk Live is joining us here. Busy morning here, Mike. Now, you guys broke the story on Pro Football Talk Live that the Jets have been sent home, players and coaches, and the Cardinals aren't sure what's going on and when they fly in. So how long does the NFL wait to make a decision, or are we looking at another Tuesday night game?
Well, here's what's going on, Dan. They're retesting the player who tested positive. It's a presumptive positive. It could be a false positive, which is odd because I don't remember the NBA or the NHL having any false positives whatsoever, but they are retesting the player. They sent the players and coaches home out of an abundance of caution. They'll know more later in the day. Basically, you get the sample, you send it to the lab for the test, you wait for the result. Once the sample gets there, it doesn't take all that long to turn it around. Then they'll know what they're going to do. But until then, they're losing a workday. Friday's not the most important workday of the week, but they're still losing a workday in advance of their game against the Arizona Cardinals. So I don't know what happens at this point. If it comes back as a confirmed positive, that obviously complicates things. If it's a negative, then they move forward, presumably on Sunday, although I don't know, maybe we're going for a triple header on Monday the way things have been going lately.
And then the Patriots... You know, I just asked McLovin, is Cam Newton playing in this game against Denver? Is Stephon Gilmore playing? Here we are Friday, and have they been given clearance?
What you need to have, if you're asymptomatic, 5 days and two negative tests at least 24 hours apart. They believe Cam Newton will be able to play on Monday night when they face the Broncos. Now, Stephon Gilmore tested positive on Tuesday, so the timeline for him is tighter. You're talking about a six-day window if he's asymptomatic and if the virus clears his body to the point where he can have two negative tests. But, you know, Dan, what this Patriots situation underscores, and I saw the reporting today, and it's every morning between 7:30 and 8 o'clock Eastern. It's like the Clarence Beeks crop report, and you'll see 10 different reporters all reporting based on the same unnamed source, whether there's negatives or positives. Just because the Patriots are all negative today doesn't mean they're out of the woods because of the incubation period. That's the one thing that keeps getting lost in this. Someone could have been exposed to the virus based on contact with Stephon Gilmore on Monday night in Kansas City in that cramped locker room that they have there, on the flight home where they had the two planes, the guys who did have close contact with Cam Newton and those who didn't, and Gilmore was on the plane with the guys who did. And then you've got an incubation period that could hit tomorrow, Sunday, Monday with another positive. So every day that the news comes back clean, that isn't time to exhale. It's just exhale for now until tomorrow when we get the next round of tests.
Is there a contingency plan on pausing the season where maybe a 2 week or 3 week window and maybe bubbleizing these teams in hotels? I don't know how drastic, how strict the NFL can or would get.
I think that those two options don't have to happen together. You don't have to pause the season if you're going to have home market bubbles, which I've been saying for well over a week now, they need to do. I mean, what's happened is the NFL basically has had the bullet graze its ear and they've decided to keep going full speed ahead. They got lucky with the Titans, although I don't know that I would call it lucky if they don't play their game this week and they will have missed two games because the makeup of Bills at Titans is going to be a lot harder to pull off than Steelers at Titans. But at some point, they've just got to hit that button and say, we are putting everyone in a hotel. You know, the NFL's attitude is basically, we're going to have people who test positive. If you follow our protocols, it won't spread, which I don't really buy. And I'm told that when they had a conference call on Monday, Dr. Sills, the chief medical officer, was pushing the idea that the NFL's approach is actually better than what a home market bubble would be or a regional bubble would be. And people just aren't buying that. It's not better. You can't just accept, oh, well, we're going to send 170 people home from every team every night, coaches, players, essential personnel. They each have their own story as to what they do, where they go, who they interact with. And we just say, well, you know, some of them are going to be positive from time to time. We'll just deal with it. It's better to put everybody in a hotel, lock it down, get everyone sign on for it. If they're going to opt out, give them another chance to opt out. That's what they should do. And I feel like they're eventually going to do it. They're just going to wait a little bit longer until there's an incident worse than what we've seen in Tennessee.
And there's been this talk, and you know, my source said that, you know, when he listens to the show, he goes, people keep saying, well, just move the season back a couple of weeks. And he just says, remind people that not everybody has missed games. So Tennessee, if they miss two games, let's say, then do I have an extra 2 weeks before I start the playoffs just to accommodate the Tennessee Titans? At what point does the NFL say to a team, you're going to forfeit a game?
Well, you've raised two very good points there. Let me address the scheduling realities first. I was on with Chris Mad Dog Russo earlier this week, and he had an idea that pissed me off because it's one of those things I wish I'd thought of it. Instead of just tacking a week of games onto the end of the season and then having the teams that are in the first round bye, there's only two this year, one in each conference, go 3 weeks between games, you just take week 17 as is, make it week 18, play the makeup games week 17, however many there need to be. Now, some teams may need more than one, which would be a problem, but always make the last weekend of the regular season whatever your week 17 currently is, that crescendo that we love every year where everyone plays on the same day and all the playoffs are determined. And then no one goes 3 weeks between games on the back end. I like that. As to forfeits, here's the problem. Two problems for the NFL. One, if you start forfeiting games, you have to start cutting checks back to the networks. They're not going to pay for games. They're not going to pay to come on and say the Bills have beaten the Titans 2-0. All right. Secondly, because that's in the rule book. If there's a forfeit, final score 2-0. Second thing, the players have agreed not to be paid for games that are suspended or canceled. They haven't agreed to not be paid for games that are forfeited. That creates an issue between the league and the union. Because if you forfeit a game, well, if this game between the Bills and Titans gets forfeited because the Titans have just been a mess over the past 2 weeks, the Bills players, do you deprive them of their game check? Why should they not get paid? They're ready to go.
They should get the Titans paycheck.
The Titans should pay the Bills payroll that week. That should be part of the penalty if that ever happens.
When you saw Brady put up four fingers last night,
wasn't he referring to the fact that Patrick Mahomes was the fourth player on the NFL's top 100 list? Is that maybe that's what it was? When your two biggest selling points are your brains and your experience, and you have the Brian Hoyer moment, it's a perfect bookend. Brian Hoyer thinks he's got a timeout. He does the Chris Webber thing on Monday night, and then you turn around and Tom Brady thinks he still has another down, which means he wouldn't have thrown the ball down the field on what was 4th and 5. Unless he was trying to pull a Jedi mind trick on the officials, which would have been awesome if that's what he was trying to do. Now, I don't remember, was it Missouri?
Colorado.
Fifth down game, right? If he was trying to pull that off, great. But based on the way everybody talked about it after the game, no, Tom just forgot it was 4th down, which is stunning for any starting quarterback, but especially stunning for him.
Well, what was more surprising, that Brady didn't know it was 4th down, or Bruce Arians after the game said, yes, Tom knew it was 4th down?
Well, I think Bruce learned after calling Brady out repeatedly after the week 1 game that you really don't want to do that with Tom Brady. And so he was just throwing him a little lifeline there. Surely he knew he didn't know. And Arians knows he didn't know, but there's nothing to be gained by throwing Tom Brady under the bus. I mean, the reality is, yeah, that was the final moment that things fell apart. But my God, if the Buccaneers could have at least blocked a little bit last night, it never would have come to that.
Fewer flags the first month Last night was, didn't follow the company line, party line, but is this a directive, do you think, from the NFL to the officials of let's be a little looser here and you know, not be the story?
Oh, yeah, and that's what Walt Anderson, the new supervisor of officials, told NFL media week two. He didn't put it in those terms, but he said the focal point is clear and obvious violations, which means there's going to be some stuff you can get away with. Now, then the coaches adjust to the things you can get away with. Last night, some of the holding fouls looked like the fouls that would be called if you're not looking for clear and obvious. So, you know, it's always a moving target. Peter King made that point today on PFT Live, that the officiating changes every year. And it's unfortunate. It should always be the same standard. But the end result has been, you get some of these college-style, exciting 35, 32, 41, 38 games. I like that. Now, last night's game was exciting, 20-19, but it didn't have the offense that we've gotten accustomed to. And so it's always going to adjust. It's always going to adapt. And there's always going to be a directive to the officials as to how the league wants games officiated. That's just part of the sport.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dan. See you, pal.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
McLovin, the final hour poll question is?
Whose career would you want, Nick Foles or Robert Horry? Actually, Nick jumped out to an early lead here.
Oh, okay. We're asking that question. Nick, of course, winning a Super Bowl MVP, and he joins us now after the win last night. Nick, do you want to weigh in on the poll question? Would you take your career or Robert Horry's career? He won 7 NBA titles.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty amazing career. It'd be hard to go to not choose 7 NBA titles, but you know, I've been very blessed throughout my career. So since it's me, I'll just, you know, I'm grateful for the career I've had.
Last time I saw you, I was on the podium, and you were holding your daughter after winning the Super Bowl MVP. And I was – how old is she now?
She's three.
Three.
She's three, and she actually just went in our basement. She's out there playing around with my wife and our dog, and our son's sleeping right now. So just enjoying some family time.
I'm guessing your daughter doesn't remember anything about that night when the Eagles won the title.
I don't think so. I don't think she does. But when she sees pictures of it, she says, "There's baby Lily." So she does remember. She does know what she was like as a baby, but she has no clue.
Yeah. And when you think about, when you reflect back on that, like, what is there one thing that stands out about that night when you won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's just you don't know what it's going to be like. I mean, obviously, it's a childhood dream to do that. And until you've done it, you don't know. And I think that, you know, the moment it's over, the moment you're celebrating, obviously you were there when I was holding Lily and just embracing my family. But you really realize, like, you step back and you look at the people you went through this journey with, and you see them embracing their family and loved ones in complete joy, because it's not an easy road to get to, you know, be Super Bowl champions. And in that moment, you really realize, you know, the joy and the journey that this game provides. And it's much more than a trophy. It's the journey and the people you go through it with.
But you got a statue as well, Nick, right?
Yeah. It's wild to think there's a statue in front of the league from a moment that was simply just to score against the Patriots. And it was a play that we felt like would work in that time and had no idea what that play would be like.
What did you say from that Super Bowl?
What did I say?
Save.
Oh, save. Let's see. I mean, a lot of this stuff is in the Hall of Fame. We found in a box, because we've obviously moved a few times, but we found in a box my Philly special glove, which was pretty cool. I had wondered where it went, and then I realized, oh, there it is, because it was in my Super Bowl stuff. So I'd imagine that's a pretty valuable piece of memorabilia. But I think it'll be great in our son's room at some point. We don't have anything around the house or anything. If my kids ever want to take some of my jerseys or my stuff, we'll take them out of boxes and let them do that.
I'm surprised that glove is not in the Hall of Fame, Nick.
Yeah, I am too.
Well, they're probably going to call you. They're probably going to go, oh.
I know they're probably listening to the show, and I'm sure they're going to call right after this and everything. But, you know, someday I'll have to take my kids there so they can see it.
Did you ever find Tom Brady? You were looking for him after the game. The camera was on you. Did you realize that?
I didn't realize that the camera was on me. Obviously, everyone's trying to, you know, keep their distance and do that thing. I was looking for him real quick, but you know, once again, we'll find a time down the road. It was a hard fought battle on both sides. It was a fist fight. So, you know, that was a tough game. I'm glad we came out on top.
How would you describe that game? If somebody didn't see that game and you were trying to sum it up for them, how would you sum it up?
Oh, it's just a fist fight. Like it was, you know, throw stats out the window. It's just, you know, keep fighting. And, don't give up, because it wasn't the prettiest game by any means. But we, you know, the team that just continued to fight, and Tampa Bay is a great team. I mean, they've had a great start to the season. They're well coached. They have talented players on both sides of the ball. But it wasn't pretty, but it was one of those games you're really grateful that you come out with a victory.
But did you think you left too much time on the clock with that, you know, final drive there where, you know, it's Brady and you're like, oh, yeah, gosh, you know, you look up,
no,
and you go,
sure,
you're doing the math there with the time left.
You know what? Been in that situation before with Tom, and there was time, but that's where it's a, you know, our defense came up huge so many times last night. We really have a great locker room, and that showed through this first part of the season. The games, we have not made the games easy on ourselves, but ultimately the character of the locker rooms prevailed. And, you know, we had complete trust in our defense at the end. They had caused havoc all game, and it didn't make it easy on Tom and their offense. So I was really really proud of our defense to get that huge stop at the end.
I applauded you on the air, not that it made its way back to you, but how you've handled the Mitchell Trubisky, and that's tricky. But you've been in these situations before, and, you know, you're just saying, look, I don't know if I'm the starter next week. And then, you know, because Mitchell Trubisky was a high draft pick and you're brought in, you're not sure if you're going to be able to compete for the job. And like, how do you approach something like that where in your heart you're a competitor and you think you're the better quarterback, but you also have to be professional about your approach to that?
Yeah, and you know what? First and foremost, you know, Mitch is an extremely talented quarterback. I've been able to be around him here, you know, since I got here, and working with him and seeing what he can do from an athletic standpoint, from moving around, throwing the ball, making plays. I've really enjoyed being around him. But first and foremost, it's really just developing a relationship apart from football. So when we're in the film room, or when just getting to know each other as people, first and foremost. Because sometimes, like you said, football becomes tricky, especially in the QB room, and it can get extremely weird. And this hasn't been a difficult – I mean, this has not been an easy situation, you know, for the first part of the season for either of us. But I feel like that foundation we set in training camp, where we genuinely got to know each other, has really helped through these times. And it, once again, not easy for either of us throughout this, but I feel like, you know, Mitch has been amazing throughout this process, and it's been a healthy QB room.
If somebody's watching on TV, it almost looks like you're the Lion King because of the mirror behind you.
You know what? I saw this. I was asking, you got to go in the basement. And, you know, obviously we've been moving in and we just got a little office. And I opened up the Zoom and I'm like, man, that I got to figure this out so people know it's a mirror and stuff. And you know, it's my first time sitting in the office. So,
oh. I'm just telling you, this is what's going to happen, Nick. People are going to go, who does Nick Foles think he is? He's dressing up like a, you know, it is Halloween season, but it looks like you're the Lion King with the
way it matches my hat. I guess it works. You know, it'll give someone something to Instagram or do something.
Well, wait, what was plan B if it wasn't going to work? You have two lights, lamps on the side, and then you got a huge mirror. And it looks like the mirror is made out of bamboo or something, but it looks like you have a headdress on.
Yeah, I mean, plan B was honestly going in the basement, but I felt like you deserve more than that.
Thank you.
Being in the basement. So this actually was for you. I was like, I got to figure this out. I hope my computer's charged. Like, you know, so this Lion King setup was for you.
Did you watch the game when you got home? Do you watch?
No. No, I got home and I just sat there with my wife and I was starving. So I ate a lot of food and went to sleep.
Oh, okay. So then, but you watched the game footage today?
I watched it today. So we just went in and we get tested like every day, picked up my family some breakfast. I'll do some recovery and get the film in today. But it was a late night. Didn't get home till probably like 1 or something. So just giving myself a little time to rest.
He plays for the Bears, but he's the Lion King. He's Nick Foles. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you making all of that effort to give us the special room as opposed to a basement.
Absolutely, Dan. Anything for you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Wise man, Nick Foles, the Lion King. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
The 7-time NBA champ, the Lakers analyst for Spectrum Sportsnet, Robert Horry, is on the program. Robert, how are you feeling today?
Man, I'm feeling great. How about you, Mr. Patrick?
I'm doing great. Could you give the Lakers a couple of minutes tonight on the floor if they would, if they'd need you?
Hey, you know what? I would, just to get that 8th ring.
Where are all those rings?
You know, I have them in a safe deposit box back in Houston, Texas. So, you know, I had to keep them safe, man.
What's your favorite one?
You know, actually, I have two. I just don't have one. I think the 95 championship, what we did as the Houston Rockets, was something special. Not having a home court advantage was key to winning that championship, because it made us, you know, have that, you know, the heart of a champion, because we defended champion. And the second one is, of course, 2001 Lakers. We went 16-1. You know, we were so mad. We lost game one of the finals to the Sixers. We wanted to go perfect, man, do something that probably would never be done in NBA history.
How do you respond when you'll get people say, yeah, the Rockets won, but Michael took the year off or those years off to play baseball?
I said, first of all, you look at our record of versus the Bulls. I know everybody said that's just regular season. And I played for Phil, so I know how Phil coached. I know we'd have won those games. You know, everybody thinks that Michael Jordan was his greatest player, which he is. but they're slapping Dream in the face. Dream was right there behind them. They had nobody that could guard Dream. And people also forget he came back in 95, and he just got beat by a younger, faster team in the Orlando Magic, who we swept. So, you know, they can throw all that stuff out the window.
Do you have a favorite Jordan story?
You know what? Jordan, to me, I remember one time where he was on the court and he made a move. This is when the NBA was really trying to enforce traveling. I came down and made the same move. He looked at me and said, young fellas, you think if they call traveling on me, they won't call it on you? And I looked at him like, wow, Michael Jordan just spoke to me.
Well, you didn't make the documentary, did you?
No, we didn't make the documentary. You know, they try to keep the Rockets out of that documentary as much as possible. They know we should have been in there.
Akeem is one of my favorite guys of all time, and I've told this story before. I was sitting down to dinner with John Barry, Mark Jackson, and Patrick Ewing, and Mark Jackson knew that I loved Akeem, and So he says to Patrick, or he goes, why don't you tell Patrick your story? And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, don't tell him. Tell him who you think is better, Akeem or Patrick. And I looked at Patrick Ewing, and I said, Akeem was a better center. And Patrick goes, I agree. And we became fast friends that day. But it was one of those moments where Mark Jackson put me on the spot. But I loved watching Akeem. As far as footwork goes, he was like a point guard. And I think playing soccer, you know, whatever it was, he just had unbelievable footwork. And I think he's underrated.
I agree with that. I think he's very underrated. And it's always amazing to me how many, so many basketball players go to him and want to learn his footwork and his knowledge of the game. But he gets no credit. I think a lot of times it's due to his shyness. You know, and his religion and him not wanting to be in the spotlight. He just wanted to play basketball and enjoy the game. But think about it. He dropped 50 on a team during Ramadan and not be able to drink water. You know, and the things he was able to do as a player were incredible. And I'm not just saying that because I love him as a human being and a teammate, but, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. You know, you look at what he did on the court. You know, I know Giannis did it this year, but he was the first player to be MVP and defensive player in the year. That lets you know that he's a perfect basketball player.
What questions did you have with this Laker team when they went into the bubble?
I was really worried about their bench. I think if you look at their bench, it's, you know, outside of, you know, Kyle Kuzma, we know AC Fresh was doing his thing, but you're like, okay, what are these other guys do? What's Dwight Howard going to do? You know, what is, you know, new guys coming in, Marquise Morris, you know, these guys, what are they going to be able to do? And you look at it, the bench was perfect. Each series has brought someone off the bench to be key. In Denver, it was Dwight, and now this series is Marquise. So it's amazing how, you know, you look at a team like on paper, and you're like, okay, I don't know if this is going to work because these guys, you know, don't have the resume as certain other guys. But when they got on the court, it comes together. And that's what it's all about, being to come together during the playoff times.
We're talking to Robert Horry, the Lakers analyst for Spectrum Sportsnet, 7-time NBA champ. Who's your MVP right now, LeBron or AD?
I have to go with LeBron just because the little bad game AD had. Because when you are MVP in the finals, you can't have a bad game. You know, and plus LeBron got snubbed on, you know, the season MVP, in my opinion. And I think there's no way he won't lose this one. He has, you know, he's probably going to have a phenomenal game tonight. He's going to close it out so he wins MVP.
What can LeBron do in your mind that elevates him into the conversation with Michael Jordan?
I think for me, LeBron, he has to figure out a way to get the public on his side. You know, and that's the whole thing about it. You know, he's such a great player. And, you know, I think this day and age with so much social media, you'd be able to spy on guys and you didn't have that with all the other guys. And if you look at what Michael Jordan has been able to do throughout his career, from his playing, his shoes, his ability to own a team, and his just love, and the love that people have for him, that it's going to be hard for him to knock him off that throne, just because, you know, people don't like to say anything about great athletes. And I think LeBron is the only great athlete that they say bad things about, and I hate it for him.
Yeah, it is really interesting, though, Robert, that he's polarizing, and I don't know why, but it feels like they're going to try to downplay or water down this championship, or if he wins an MVP and, you know, hey, you won it in the bubble. It seemed like it was pickup games. And I think it's tougher to win a championship given these circumstances. No home court advantage. You're bubbleized, bubble-ish for, you know, 100 days. And then they're going to go, well, they faced the Miami Heat. They didn't have to face the Bucks, or they didn't have to, you know. It just feels like people are going to, you know, drag him down a little bit here. They're not going to elevate him.
You know, that's out of all the athletes that you could be, I would want to be him, because he is scrutinized so much, and you're so right. People going to come up with some excuse to put a black eye on this championship for him.
Yeah.
You know, the Clippers lost. It ain't our fault they was up 3-1 and didn't get there. Milwaukee, injuries happen. You know, the Celtics, it's so many excuses they would get, but you realize that now you're making those teams that beat those teams seem like they were just mediocre teams. If you look at what Denver did this year, wow, they did an incredible year. You look what Miami Heat did. Wow, you know, the heart of the champion, Jimmy Butler, you know. And you look at what Jimmy Butler did for the Miami Heat. He put his will in every player. He gave every player that nastiness that he plays with, and it's gone onto the court and carried out through those players. You know, if you look at that team, you say, okay, this is a soft team. They don't have any bruisers, but Udonis, and Udonis doesn't play, but they come out and they play bruiser basketball. They have heart of a champion. So you cannot take anything from anybody who's won this bowl, because they're all in the same situation. They all got the same amenities, so there's no reason that those other teams shouldn't have won. So don't black out this championship for the Lakers.
Would you rather have Kobe or LeBron as a teammate in your prime?
Well, I played with Kobe, so I love LeBron, but I have to take Kobe, because Kobe knows me. I know him. And, you know, that's no knock on LeBron, because I'm sure if I have played with LeBron and I thought, okay, I could comment on that. But for me, the love I have for Kobe, watching him work hard in practice. And the best thing about Kobe was beating him in practice and waiting for him. You know, not he wouldn't talk to you for 2 days until you got a chance to play against you again in practice and beat you. And that was the fun part about it, because we would just brag on him, me, Bishaw, Fish, and we would just mess with him the whole time. And Coach would be like, do y'all want to scrimmage today? And we'd be like, nah. And he gets so heated that he couldn't get his revenge. So, you know, guys like that, you love playing with. You know, he was one of him, Dream, Shaq, and those guys were some of my favorite guys to ever play with. Of course, you know, like Tony Parker and Manu and Tim also.
Your favorite Kobe story?
I think my favorite Kobe story, we were on a plane flying to Europe, and we were sitting there playing spades, and he was just sitting there watching us, right? And he was this, you know, it's almost like a kid who hadn't seen anything before, and it was so funny. He was like, what are y'all doing? He's like, we're playing spades. I said, you don't know how to play spades? He's like, no. And so I sat down and I taught him how to play spades, and I thought it was the most interesting thing to me. I know most people are like, oh, this is a card game. But when you're a black man growing up, that's one of the things you have to learn how to play. You have to learn how to play spades and dominoes. And I said, see, this is what happens when you don't go to college, man. You don't learn these games when you got curfew and you can't go nowhere.
And then Kobe wants to master it, right?
Yes, of course. You know, he was such a guy who wanted to master everything. He was so locked in, so keyed in. And you know, this is the thing. I play with a lot of great athletes, and he is the only one that will literally, you know, if you tell him you can't do something, he will go in the gym the next day and work on it just to prove you wrong. And just think about it. One game, he had a bad right shoulder, and he played the whole game shooting left-handed, and he's right-handed. Think about that. It's the things he was able to do was just simply amazing.
It's great to catch up with you, Robert, and Game 5 coming up tonight. We appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
No, thanks for always having me on, man. Stay safe.
That's Robert Orring, Lakers analyst, Spectrum Sportsnet, and seven-time NBA champ.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.